You are not perfect. You do not hang stars. You did not walk on water. I see all your marks.
Hello and welcome to the Imperfect Beauty Podcast. I am your imperfect, unashamedly imperfect hostess. Katie Runnels. Good morning. This morning we're drinking coffee. So I have had on my mind the last few weeks the thought and a nudge to talk about courage. And then last night, I had a dream about a polar bear. And hold on, I think I have some sleepy stuff in my eyes. Anyway, okay. So I had this dream that I was in some sort of like parking lot or something. And it was in a city like LA or Phoenix. It was hot. And I looked over and there was a polar bear like right close to me, just sleeping on his or her, its back. And I wasn't even afraid, but I was like, oh my gosh, there's a huge polar bear over there. And then I, in the dream, obviously, and part of me was like, why am I not afraid? There's this gigantic polar bear like 10 feet away from me. And then this little thing inside was like, better get in your car and drive away. There's a huge polar bear right there. So then I was like, okay, if I get my keys out really fast and just like, maybe the polar bear won't see me and then I'll get in and drive away. So then I rushed my car and it kind of like wakes up and sees me and starts coming after me. And I'm like, get in the keys. And I'm like, oh my gosh, get in the car. And as I'm driving away, it's like clawing at the car. And then I wake up. So then this morning I got up and I was like, I need to look up the significance or the polar bear archetype. So I'm gonna read that to you right now. I looked it up on my phone, but now I need to look it up on my computer. And it says, okay, the polar bear archetype symbolizes strength, resilience, and adaptability in challenging environments, embodying qualities like determination, courage, and wisdom. As a spiritual guide, it represents the power to endure difficulties, offer inner strength and focus, and teaches the importance of connecting with one's inner self and embracing solitude for reflection and personal breakthrough. And there's more, but that's what I'm, look up the polar bear archetype, what do polar bears symbolize and represent if you want to know more about the polar bear. But that to me was like a sign, like, okay, do the courage podcast. And so one other thing I'll read to you about polar bears right here. It says, The polar bear is a symbol of gratitude and perseverance. Qualities include perseverance, patience, concentration, which is good because I struggle with concentration. So, not sure all of the significance of what it means regarding my personal dream, except for that it's important in my life right now to... I am embracing solitude. I am embracing perseverance and courage. And a few other things, wisdom and intuition, solitude and reflection, fearlessness and courage. So that is what the polar bear is, and that's why we're talking about courage, which my next podcast, I plan on talking about, either my next one or a few soon, I'm going to talk about intuition. And just as a reminder, these talks are coming not from an expert, so to speak, other than I'm an expert on my own life because I've lived my own life, and I'm just going to share some experiences and hopefully it will give you hope and help you to not feel like you're alone and know that you're not alone and know that I'm your cheerleader. Go you. And tell you some stories, because we learn through narratives and stories. Obviously, we learn through other ways, but if you look at history and how throughout history, lessons were taught through narratives. And so I think it's important that I realized that when we tell our stories and when we hear stories, it helps us to not feel alone. And C.S. Lewis said this once, that we read to know that we're not alone. And so I'm telling my story so you know you're not alone. And hopefully it will give you hope. And hopefully eventually you can tell me a story about how to get rid of these. I think I need to hydrate more. Anyway. So that, my friend, is why I chose courage for today. And so what is courage? I wrote a little outline again. I'm trying to follow an agenda. What is courage? Why is it important? And then I'm going to talk a little bit about individuation. And bring in a little bit my story on individuating. And I want to talk about, if I get there, because I don't want this to be too long, I want to talk about the hero's journey, because it involves courage and Vikings. So let's start with Vikings. I love Viking stuff. And by the way, I'm going to try to not swear in this podcast, because I realized that I'm not so worried about it offending people, but I'm more worried about it having to put explicit content in the YouTube algorithm, or like, you know, we have to put explicit if I swear, and then I don't get as much exposure if it's explicit. So if you like my swearing, I'll swear other places, but can't swear here. Some good black coffee. And I make my coffee lately, by the way, using a Chemex. So Chemex are pretty cool. Pretty smooth coffee. Anyway, Vikings. Okay, so Vikings. I kind of am obsessed with Vikings, and I got really into Vikings about 8 years ago. And I watched, the first show I watched was The Last Kingdom. And I felt like, oh my gosh, why? Because it's pretty violent. And a little part of me was like, why does this not bother me? I really love like the whole warrior and like, oh, Vikings. And then I watched the show Vikings. I think it started out on the Discovery Channel, but then it went to Netflix or Prime or something, and I binged on that. And then I watched The Last Kingdom like 3 times, the entire series, because I love it so much. And I love the character Uhtred. So if you get a chance to watch that show, The Last Kingdom, please do. It'll like enrich your life. I mean, maybe it won't, but it enriched my life. The main character Uhtred has all these complexities and identity crises, and it's just a beautiful show. Anyway, so I wonder, like, why do I love the whole warrior Viking stuff? And then I started thinking, maybe I was a Viking in a past life. Maybe I was like a shield maiden, or maybe I was a dude in a past life and I was like a warrior. I don't know how. I've never done one of those past life regression hypnotherapy things, so I'm not sure. I don't really want to do that. I'm a little scared to do that. But anyway, so I think that what really excites me about the idea of being a warrior is the fact that the warriors had to not be fearless, but be courageous. Because here's what courage is. The ability, this comes from, I don't know, some online definition. Here, this comes from the Merriam-Webster dictionary. Courage, mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. Courage implies firmness of mind and will in the face of danger or extreme difficulty. So, courage is not being fearless. Courage is looking at your fears and facing your fears and doing it anyway. So I used to have this fear in my early 20s of, as a female, traveling alone. And I went through this phase where I was, again, where I listened to the Tony Robbins CD box set. Go Tony Robbins. And he basically talks about how if you're afraid of something, that's what you need to do. And so when I was 24, I was like, okay, I reflected on what am I afraid of, and I was afraid to travel alone. So I booked a ticket to Ireland because I'd always wanted to go to Ireland, and I backpacked across Ireland alone for 10 days, and it was pretty awesome. Looking back, for the ladies out there, I don't recommend you do that unless you know martial arts. And in more recent years, I wanted to do the Camino de Santiago by myself because it's like a spiritual journey, and I wanted to just do it alone. And I haven't done it yet. But I started going to jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu classes, so that I felt confident, like, if I had any sort of a sketchy encounter, to, like, take somebody down. And so, anyway, I didn't want to get back into jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu is awesome. So if you are a female and you're like, oh, well, I want to travel alone like Katie did, please make sure you do it the smart way and be a badass. Oops, I just swore. Okay, well, hopefully that's not a super bad word. Well, I hope we don't have to put explicit on because I said that. We can bleep it out. Okay, we'll bleep it out. Anyway, so that is what courage is in a nutshell. I also wanted to look up, I have the Vikings, hallmarks of a Viking. A fierce courage and strength, unwavering loyalty to their kin and clan, a profound sense of honor and duty, the pursuit of a lasting reputation, and the obligation to seek justice through revenge or compensation for wrongs committed against them. Now, I'm not a proponent of revenge, and I am a proponent of justice for sure. But I think the thing that sticks out to me that I love about the Viking spirit is the fierce courage and strength and unwavering loyalty. I mean, I think it's important to know where your loyalties lie, and then you can have unwavering loyalty to that. And my loyalties lie with truth. Like, I am loyal to living authentically, and I'm not going to be loyal to, I decided many years ago that even if someone I love with my whole heart behaves in an unethical or sketchy way, I'm not going to be loyal to that person. I will say or do. I'm loyal to principles. I'm not loyal to a person. I'm loyal to the principles of truth and justice. And I think it can be very dangerous to have blind loyalty to a clan, to a person, to a thing, especially if that person is engaging in unethical or wrong behavior or group. So my loyalty lies. I am a loyal person, and I am loyal to people who I know are good and trustworthy, and to causes I know that are just causes. Anyway, it was a side note. And so the question is, why is courage important? And I'm just going to set this aside 1 second. Okay, so now the question is, why is it important? Why is it important, and why is it such a part of who we are as human beings and evolving and growing? And And I'll tell you why I think it's important. Courage is important because if we stay stuck in fear, we don't spiritually evolve or mentally or emotionally evolve. And I have come across many people in my life where it's like they're stuck in Groundhog Day. Groundhog Day, the movie, where it's like a repeat and nothing changes. And it's because they're stuck in fear. And it's scary to change and move forward. And the thing about courage is that it's not, again, it's not being fearless. It's facing your fears. It's looking at your fears and then doing it anyway. And if you don't feel fear, then that's not, if you're like, I'm fearless. No, that's not what courage is. So think about, if you want your life to look different than it looks right now, maybe you love your life right now. That's great. Maybe you're like, everything is going great for me. But you can have things going really well and also find things you're not facing that you're afraid of and go face them and continue to evolve and grow. And maybe you're in a place where you're like, I feel stuck. Well, then you need to reflect on, what are you afraid of? Like, are you afraid of rejection? Are you afraid of what people think about you? Are you afraid of uncomfortability? Because again, even if we're, let's talk for a moment about, all of this involves mental health, by the way. Let's talk for a moment about addiction and bad habits. It takes courage to break a bad habit. It takes courage to face an addiction because you have to face the uncomfortability, and it's scary. It's scary to have different feelings, and it's scary to feel your feelings without a certain substance. It's scary to do something different. And so courage is so important. And it's important to reflect, and I've done this many times because we're always changing. What am I afraid of now? Like, okay, I used to be when I was first starting to play music in front of people, songs I wrote, it was terrifying to get up in front of people as like a 21-year-old, and I did this was, I'll never forget the first time I played in front of complete strangers with at this bar called Blue Agave in Scottsdale, Arizona. And I went by myself to this open mic because I had invited people to come out, like my family, and they're like, yeah, no, we're just gonna stay home and watch TV. I was like, cool. I grabbed my guitar and I'm like, I'm gonna go do this. And I got up and I played an original song, and it was terrifying. And if I hadn't done that way back when, over 20 years ago, then I wouldn't be doing now what I'm doing with music, which is I can get up on stage and feel completely relaxed. And so now what's my next fear? What's the next uncomfortability I need to face? What's the next thing I need to have courage about? And for me, honestly, this was scary. Putting myself on YouTube, doing social media was really scary for me because, so for those of you who are younger, you're used to social media and you're used to doing videos maybe about yourself. But for me, it was scary because I didn't grow up with social media, and it's like I didn't really want to do it because, but it's the nature of the game, right? Right now, it's like I realized I have to do this because I can't ride a horse on the highway when everybody's driving cars. And so, I mean, I could, but it would take me a really long time to get to my destination. So when I first started doing like reels on Instagram, that was kind of terrifying. And I just started doing it. I'm like, okay, do another reel. And I feel like a total dork. But then again, that's what I'm an expert at, apparently, is being a dork. So, and now I just, as I continue to do the social media posts and reels, I'm just like, I'm just gonna have fun with it. I'm just gonna like embrace it. And, but the first few posts, the first few reels were honestly scary for me. And some people helping me with PR and social media stuff, I was like, help, help me. I'm old. I don't know how to do this. And so they gave me some guidance, like, okay, how about do a reel and then say this? I was like, okay. And say this. And then I started getting my own ideas about, okay, I'm just going to do a little reel about tree pose or something in yoga. And I'm going to do a reel about, I don't know, just like I was getting ideas and I just decided to do it and go for it. And then if I watch it and I'm like, that was horrible, then I take it down. I'm like, I'm deleting that. I'm going to do a different one. And so, but it's gotten easier as I've done more of it because I know I have to do it because that's apparently the way the world works now. And so, yeah, courage. So reflect on your fears. Now, your fears can be emotional. It doesn't have to be like, well, I think the root of all of it is probably emotional, but it doesn't have to be like, I'm afraid to move to Africa or whatever. Or I'm afraid to fill out this application. For me, filling out the Peace Corps application, that took a lot of courage because, well, this is crooked. Hold on. Okay. Because, talk about being a dork. Okay. There, that might be a little better. Anyway, because it could be like I'm afraid of getting close to people. I'm afraid, a lot of people have fear of intimacy because of unresolved trauma, whether it's relationship trauma from like a long-term or short-term relationship, or whether it's childhood trauma. I'm afraid to go to therapy. I'm afraid to open myself up. Like, it can be emotional. and just reflect on, what are you afraid of? Like I said, I was afraid to do social media, partly because I've been stalked before. And being in the spotlight scares me. And that's why I was like, okay, I need to do this, because I realized I'm really afraid to put myself out there because I don't want to get targeted. And then I thought, no, then that's what I need to do. I need to face that fear and not give my power away and not let my fear run my life. And yes, being stalked is real. And I'm not going to get into the details of it, but I just want to validate anybody who has been stalked and hacked for various reasons, because it's scary and it's traumatizing. But now I'm not traumatized anymore about it, because I know how to handle it, and I'm not going to give those people power over me. And that's kind of, I feel like, the root of people who stalk, whether it's cyber stalking, stalking, which it's happened several times to me, and it can be triggering. But I gave it way too much energy. But that, because that's what those people want. They want the people who engage in sort of stalking behavior, they want to take your power away. They want to make you afraid. And I broke that. I'm like, no, I'm not going to live in a cave because some psycho people want to hack me and stalk me and whatever. I mean, I'm not quite sure the pathology behind stalking behavior. I think it's control, and it's probably many things, but I don't waste my time too much on it. That's not my, I don't engage in that because I can't relate. I don't have time for that. And so I can't relate to spending time on, again, going back to what I talked about in my codependency podcast. It was like, a lot of codependent people are like others focused. Well, I'm kind of like, well, why are you so focused on me? Like, go have your own life. And so I can't relate to that mentality because I have my own thing going on. And so the fact that someone would be hyper-focused on me and stalking me, like, I'm like, hopefully those people get help. But I think jealousy is a part of it. Romantic, whatever, relationships I've had, exes of exes stalking, like, oh my gosh, whatever. At this point, I don't care. And if you're a stalker, please get help. And just like, get your own life going on so that you're not so focused on controlling and bringing other people down. Just like, go to therapy, just like, get some help. So for me, it took courage to put myself back out there and choose to not hand my power away and to choose to face my fear. And honestly, it's been super healing and wonderful to do it, because as I face my fear and as I'm like, no, I'm going to do this anyway, like, it's like falling away. The anxiety over being stalked and the anxiety over being in the spotlight. So hopefully what you have to do, and I've had to fill out multiple police reports, but what you have to do if you are being stalked, just on a side note, is take action. If you have to get evidence and stuff, and obviously take action to protect yourself, but also, and like, you might need to go to therapy to help heal that. You might need to get a restraining order. I don't know but whatever it is, you're not alone, you're okay, and don't give your power away to people who are a bit psychotic and pathological. Part of what I realized with that kind of behavior is that the people engaging in it, in the stalking, they kind of want to make you think you're going crazy. You're not crazy. And don't live in fear, and take martial arts too. And that will help you feel more confident and less afraid. And what we have to do is face our fears. And what we have to do is, before we can face our fears and have courage, we have to know what those fears are. And it's important to not get, once you face one fear, what I'm realizing is there's going to be another one. Don't get overly comfortable, because you face a fear and you're like, I feel comfortable now. But then listen to yourself, and then listen to your feelings when you start to feel another fear. What's that fear? And then you got to face that fear. And it's a process, and you keep going. And so if you want to keep going and you want to keep growing, you have to keep looking at what your fears are. Are you afraid to be alone? Are you afraid to go to a movie by yourself? I mean, it seems small. Are you afraid to go out to eat by yourself? Go do it. Are you afraid to travel by yourself? I've traveled a lot alone since I first started traveling alone when I was 24. I actually first really started traveling alone when I was 18 and I went to Guatemala, but I had somebody there to meet me on the other side, like an organization, and I went to a language school, and it was planned out. When I was 24, I just got on a plane and traveled alone with nobody meeting me on the other side. But people did meet me. I met a lot of wonderful people. I met these Australians in a hostel, this couple. They were super cool. And we would go out to eat and we would play a game. Whose bank card has the most money on it, and that person bought dinner. It was pretty fun. We'd all put our bank card in the ATM and we're like, how much do you have? How much do you have? Okay, like, you're buying dinner tonight. Anyway, oh, to be 20 again and a bit reckless. I'm not recommending that, by the way. You should probably plan a little more than I plan. But don't, like, overplan. You know why? Because don't get stuck in planning and analysis process, because there's always going to be a challenge. It's like I hear about people who want to start a family, and they're like, well, we're not ready yet. And they're like planning and planning and planning. It's like that movie Idiocracy, where all the responsible people are stuck in planning the right time to have children. And then all of a sudden they're old and they can't have children. And then, you know, like other people who just had kids, it's like those are the ones populating. But anyway, that's a funny movie, by the way, Idiocracy. But when I think about, and I want to say this because I was thinking about this recently, if you do plan on having kids, instead of over planning financially, could you please read some parenting books? That would be great. And I say this from a perspective of someone who's taught for 20 years, that financially you can figure it out. But if you don't read some parenting books and go to therapy yourself, you're going to perpetuate much worse problems when it comes to having kids. by being a crappy parent and repeating generational messed up patterns. So what you need to plan if you're planning on having kids is read books on parenting and go get help yourself and heal your childhood wounds. Because please know that unless you do that, you are going to repeat the pattern. And kids growing up in a modest house with parents who work two jobs or who can't buy their children all these luxuries because maybe they're financially strained. Okay, well, I've met the most wonderful kids whose parents were awesome. They didn't have a lot. And they grew up sometimes even poor, but the parents were there emotionally for them. I'm like, man, your parents are like, I want to meet your parents. Anytime as a teacher, whenever I came across the most amazing students who just showed like, I'm trying to articulate the right word, like resilience and communication skills, and parents who made their students come to me to solve a problem versus helicopter them and email me. They were the most amazing parents, where when a student came to me and said, can you please help me and tell me, explain my grade to me? I don't understand why I got this grade. I'd like want to hug and kiss the parents, because that parent was teaching their child communication skills and teaching them to not triangulate and teaching them to take responsibility for their own behavior. And I would always email the parents and say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because when parents would email me about their child's grade, instead of telling their child, go back to your teacher and ask your teacher and work it out with them. Because you're the one in the class, and you're the one who did or didn't do the work, and you're the one who needs to solve the problem. That was the beautiful thing. And so that doesn't take money. In fact, oftentimes the affluent parents who helicopter managed their children, it's like, wow, you have your PhD or you have your whatever. Like, I've dealt with inner city kids, and I've also dealt with the affluent, overly educated children of highly, or like to say overly educated people. It was the affluent parents who were the most dysfunctional, teaching their children dysfunctional behavior. And probably because the parents hustling two jobs, or both parents working to make ends meet, they probably didn't have time and the luxury to send a 5-paragraph email to me. And they're like, go solve the problem with your teacher. And so, again, whether you're affluent or not, could you please read parenting books, and could you please read child-rearing books before you start popping out babies and messing up your kids and making the education system the messed up thing that it is right now, because it's pretty messed up. There's your lesson. So the hero's journey, I don't think we have time to talk about the hero's journey. But I'll say this. I'll probably talk about it on another podcast. The hero's journey involves courage. and leaving home. And I've taught the hero's journey a lot as an English teacher. And I wish more people would study it and look at it and embrace the archetype and the message behind the hero's journey, because life is a journey, and a hero's journey involves, yeah, you get the call, and then you have to take courage, and you have to step through the threshold, and you have to leave home. Now, leaving home might mean actually leaving your place of origin, but it also might be emotional, leaving home emotionally and individuating and becoming your own person and not having and choosing to not need everybody's approval for your choices in life. And that's individuation. And it might mean going against what society or what your collective family or your upbringing. It might be leaving how you were raised and thinking like, that's not who I am. And so look into the hero's journey. And do you need to leave home? Do you need to have courage to step out and leave home and be your own person and learn how to be okay with the fact that not everyone's gonna approve of your choices in life? And then you can start being a hero. Because it's like, you're not a hero because you did things that were easy. You're not a hero because you got a pat on the back and a golden star for showing up and just existing. You're a hero because you did the hard things. You're a hero because you decided, I might get rejected. I'm going to leave. I might have to go out. I might be alone. And the hero's journey can be lonely. And the hero's journey, again, it's facing your fears and it's leaving home and doing something without a pat on the back. And it's beautiful to be able to be like, I'm not getting any pats on the back, but I'm still going forward. And I'm going to give myself a pat on the back. Good job. So maybe you should give yourself a pat on the back for doing something hard in your life, overcoming an obstacle. And also the hero's journey, if you look at the Odyssey, you look at Odysseus and his journey and all the challenges and all the struggles he had and all the temptations and all the mistakes he made and all of it. And the hero's journey, again, it's not doing stuff where you have a crowd of people cheering you on. No, you want a crowd of people cheering you on, you're going to have to first go at it alone. And you're going to have to first have nobody cheering you on and just keep going. And that's courage. And maybe you'll spend a lot of nights crying, and I did. And a lot of times where, like, how am I supposed to do this? And a lot of arrows in your back. And you keep going. And so, on a side note, before I close out, like, it takes courage, but you always have a higher power if you choose to believe in a higher power. And when I was going through my divorce, at the time I have no family where I live, and it was really hard. And I had to, you're never fully alone if you believe in a higher power. And I remember I used the tools going through my divorce, which was super rough. And there were times I felt so alone, but I kept saying this one phrase, I trust you, God. I trust you, God. And some pretty bad things were done to me, and it was not fun. But I'm so much stronger because I went through that, and because I realized in my own strength, I didn't have a fallback. Like I was like, I got to figure this out. And every day, what I said was, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how I'm going to navigate all these sudden changes in my life. And I just kept saying, I trust you, God. I trust you, God. Like, I hand it over. I trust you, God. And this is a part of what I learned in 12-step recovery. Thank God I had my sponsor. So when you're in the face and when you have to have courage, and this is going back to Vikings, I mean, they had this belief in the supernatural. And that, I think that's what helped them to be okay to go to battle and to be okay to die, because they were going to die with honor. And they were dying for a cause, and they were fighting for a cause, and they believed in something. You know, I think it was called Valhalla. Anyway, I love Viking stuff. Anyway, so whatever it is you believe in, something greater than yourself, there is an invisible force. Well, I believe there's an invisible force that has your back, like the universe has your back. And the more courage you have and the more you can step out and face your fears, the stronger you're going to get, the more you're going to realize that you didn't need to be afraid of that. And I'm going to talk about intuition. Like, intuitively, if something feels like wrong, I'm not saying do stuff that feels intuitively wrong, because that's saying don't go down that dark alley. Listen to that. But also be strong, because you don't realize that you can own that. Sometimes, and I'm not saying this necessarily literally, even though, like, when I was in Guatemala alone when I was 18, I did walk I was there by myself. So I tried to have somebody, like, walk me home as much as possible, but sometimes I didn't have that, and I had to be like, be strong, be confident, and nothing ever happened to me. And so you got to be strong and be like, no one's going to hurt me. You better not try. Like, and I prayed and I had protection. So a different topic, women, obviously be safe, be smart, but also be strong, and people won't mess with you as much. Like, don't give off that victim-y energy, and people, like, if you're, my dad always taught me, and I'm grateful for this, he always taught me, if any guy tries to violate you in any way, just, like, scratch at his eyes and, like, kick him in the balls. And then I learned other stuff in jujitsu, which was pretty awesome. So martial arts, again, make yourself strong through martial arts. Anyway, this ended up being a long podcast. I might have to edit a bunch out. Take courage. Be courageous. Reflect on those fears, and then start facing those fears. And are you going to shake and have anxiety? Probably. Are you going to wake up in the middle of the night with panic? Maybe. I have. But go through those uncomfortable feelings so that you can get to the other side and be a better person, versus stay where you are. So if you don't want to stay stuck and you don't want to be the same person you were 1 year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, then you got to start facing your fears, and you have to know what those fears are. And I'm gonna see if there's something I'm afraid of now to share with you, to help you. I don't know. I'll have to reflect on that today in my journal. Write your journal about your fears. And then don't let those fears have power over you and go face them. Something that, like a fear that I used to have was like, I'm never gonna find anyone. I'm just gonna be alone. But I'm not afraid of that anymore. Like, I'm okay with being alone. I would like to find somebody, like a partner, but I'm also like not afraid if I don't. Another fear, I don't know. I'm not sure right now. If I think of a current fear I'm dealing with, I'll share it with you. So that to help you know, I told you some of my past fears. I'm thinking, for those of you who are just listening, I'm trying to think of a fear. Yeah. The more you face your fears, the less fears you have also. Or the fewer, that's the proper word for it, the fewer fears you have. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think that's the main thing here. And yeah, get outside your comfort zone, face those fears. They don't give them power over you. Have a wonderful day, night, morning, whenever you're listening to this. And I forget to say this, like, share, and subscribe if you feel so inclined. Yeah, I think that's it. Ciao.
You are not perfect. You do not hang stars. You did not walk on water. I see all your marks.